Revelation chapter 20. Starting from verse 1. Revelation chapter 20, starting from verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosened a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And also to verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. May the Lord add His blessings upon the reading of His precious word. Our Heavenly Father, we once again look unto Thee, and we thank You for this opportunity You've given us. Above all, we thank You from the very bottom of our hearts for the precious memories of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that without Him, we'd have been lost for eternity. There was no one who would have been able to accomplish that what He had accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us. We know that He gave His life that we might have eternal life. We know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that day is coming, and it's coming very fast. Those who will be standing before the great white throne of judgment, and whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast into the lake of fire. We know this evening that we are assured a place in heaven. As our Lord Jesus Christ has said, that He is going to prepare a place for us, and once He has done, He has come back and He'll receive us unto Himself. What a great hope that we have as we have gathered together once again this evening to open Thy precious word. We thank You for the word that has been given in our hands. We thank You for the language that we can understand, and above all, we thank You for the Spirit of God that's within us, who will lead us into all the truths. We pray that this evening, if there is anyone who is not certain about their salvation or never surrendered their life to Christ and accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, we pray that You will help them to do so this evening, because the times that we live are perilous, and the time is very short. The Lord is coming very soon. We thank You once again. We look unto Thee for Thy help in the most precious name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, as we look around us and see all this commotion going on, everybody has a simple question. They're all asking, how come we never knew these things were going to happen, right? They are blaming all kinds of people, and FBI and CIA. How come nobody knew this was happening, going to happen to our nation, and the things that are happening in the nation or around the world? And how come nobody had any clue? You know, I went to the Word of God and then found out that it was not true. It's been given, and it was been told to us, the things that are going to take place in the end times, in the last days, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so clearly. And the Lord's, you know, in three places in the gospel, the message has been repeated, that He had given His disciples in such detail the things that are going to take place before His coming. And in two of the Gospels, it says, Behold, I have told you so. In other words, see, I have told you. That is coming so clearly these days, but you know, people don't have the faith to go back and look to the real source of information. They're looking all over the place. You know, like the brother the other day was saying, God is very popular these days. You know, but before September 13th, you can't talk anything about God in the office and in your normal conversation. And people even told me one time that, you know, you don't want to put the little things on your car like Jesus is Lord. You might offend some people. You know, you don't want to do all that. Now, everybody wants to do it just to make sure that you're on the right side, right? Especially the foreigners. We all want to make sure that, you know, we are Christians. We are not Muslims. So we are all scrambling for this little, you know, God bless America and all those things. Now it's so popular. In the office, common discussion. Nobody has any problem. I mean, the other day we were talking about, and everybody was just gathering at 5 o'clock. Everybody wanted about a split, but the conversation led to one to another. And then all of a sudden, this guy was saying, maybe what the Bible says is true. I said, well, you know, isn't that an opportunity for us, right? We're all just waiting for such a conversation to pick up. Then when another 45 minutes of another preaching there, but, you know, we were able to expose to them. And I told them, look, you are scared that something happened in New York that 5,000 or 6,000 people lost their life. I got some more bad news for you. So they're all just opening up their wives and said, what's going on? I said, look, the Bible says within a span of 7 years, there's going to be 2/3 of the population of this world are going to perish. So the guy goes, no, you're kidding. No, I'm not. The first 1/3 is going to be eliminated. They're all going to die because of the natural calamities. It is the days of vengeance, that, as the Lord has mentioned in Luke chapter 21, the days of vengeance, God is going to unleash. 1/3 will die that way. The other 1/3 will die because of the direct intervention of God's angels and the plagues that God is going to unleash. It is going to be reality. 6,000 is nothing. When you compare to, if the Lord comes today, the world is going to enter into the great tribulation period of 7 years with 6 billion people into that period of time. We're talking 4 billion will die in the span of 7 years, especially the first and then the beginning part, first 3.5 and the beginning part of the second half of the tribulation. This is shocking news. Now they're all scrambling. Is that true? Where does it say in the Bible? So we are able to turn into God's word and then explain these things, because God has appointed. Nothing is happening by chance or by accident. All these things that are happening today is according to God's plan and according to God's will. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. You know, it's so interesting. The Bible revealed, I'm going to go through that couple of things as we go along. The Bible has very clearly revealed 5 things that are going to happen. We can call it the last things, starting with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and explains the things that are going to take place right after that. It's all in the Bible. It's all clearly being manifested, the beginning of those things right before our eyes. But you know, it's amazing when the disciples came and asked the Lord, tell us when that end time is going to be. Tell us what the signs are. You know, I'm shocked. I'm to read the Lord's approach to that question, the answer that he gives. In all 3 places he says, the first thing he says was, take heed that no man deceive you. That's to his own people. To his own disciples he's saying, before he give all the other things, that, you know, earthquake, the pestilence and everything that's going to happen, he warns his own children, be not deceived. Do not be deceived by men. Behold, it says in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. Mark 13:5, it says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Luke 21:8, it says, take heed that ye be not deceived. This is a warning for the children of God. This is the warning for believers. We are being caught up in this frenzy of fear. And we are all just, you know, me included. I mean, when the mail comes, I mean, you know, it's kind of scary. You take and see if it weighs and it has any powder in it, or, you know, it's like, it's gone so bizarre. I mean, you know, people are just petrified. And I'm not going to blame that, because the Lord says there will be nations will be in, you know, the men will be perplexed. They will be alarmed. But our warning is, do not be alarmed. The warning to us, or the advice to the believers, is do not be deceived. Do not be alarmed, because I have told you so. These things are going to happen. And more things are going to happen. There's one else. Another one is going to happen is, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in my name, you will be hated. This is for the believers. We are going to be isolated. Now we think that, you know, everybody is, God is everybody's lips, and everybody's praying to God, and God bless America, and so we are safe. It is going to. You know, something that I discovered is, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you can call God and say, God bless America, as much as you want. But if it is not offered through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not getting anywhere. You know, these hijackers, before they flew into those buildings, they had a prayer. They written up and gave it to all these 17 or 19 hijackers to pray before they, rammed into these high towers. The prayer was, God, have mercy on us. God, forgive our sins. And God, open the doors of paradise so that we can have an abundant entrance into your presence. I mean, these people are determined to go and murder innocent people. And their prayer is, God, open the paradise. This is how Satan has deceived. And Satan has put the people of the world into such a deception. They think that, you know, calling God's name is all that is needed. And you can go and do murder. In verse 8 of 21, chapter 21, it says, murderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars, their part is in the fire and brimstone, the place where it is day and night is going to burn. These people they have been misled, but their prayer. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, no one comes unto the Father but by me. The prayer is going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the name that the world doesn't want to accept. Nobody wants to pray the prayer. No, I don't hear anybody say, the Lord Jesus Christ, please bless America, right? That's the name that gives people some kind of a repulse. You know, they're like, they don't like that name to be announced. Although everybody's life is surrounded or revolving around the person of Christ, because he's the historical person, AD and BC. It's like, you know, our calendar is revolving around the person of Christ, but people don't want to admit that. And now they're going to come a day that we will be hated by all men because we profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day is going to come. But these things the Lord had told his disciples. He said, do not be deceived. Number two, he said, I have told you always. And the third thing he told his disciples is, watch therefore. He explains all the things that are going to take place, and he's giving his people a warning. And the last advice he gave them was, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:42, and Mark also, he repeats the same thing. Watch ye therefore, 13:35. And Luke 21:36, it says, watch ye and pray always that you will not be left behind and go through this tribulation that was going to follow. So the Lord has given us clear instructions. Nothing is ambiguous, nothing is vague. And as believers, this is not the time for us to hide someplace or bunker into some holes and don't let anybody know that we are believers. This is the time for us to be bold and come out and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we are talking to people. I mean, it's amazing. They are coming and telling. They are looking life in a very different perspective. They are looking at life in a different angle. People are all talking about, you know, after all, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. This is people are, you know, Catholics, and people don't have any faith. And I'm not saying all Catholics don't have faith, but, you know, the people who openly don't go to church, they have nothing to do with the Bible, they don't know anything in the scriptures. Now they're all talking, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And we have the opportunity to tell them, look, we don't know what's going to happen to our life, whether we are going to live today or tomorrow. But one thing we know where we are going. We know which place and which direction. What is the destiny of our life? As it was mentioned this morning by our brother, there is a destiny that we all are heading to.
There are two places, whether in heaven or in hell. And we have the assurance the Lord has given us. It's not something that we are waiting to achieve later on. We have eternal life today. We are the children of God today. We have the Word of God. We have the warning. We have the precious promises of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes with us. We don't have to worry about anthrax or smallpox or no matter what happens. It is all in God's Word that this perilous time will come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe the Paul has, or 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul has warned that in the last days, perilous time will come. The people, men will be fierce. In other words, they will be terrorists. There will be all kinds of things. There will be no value for life. And all these things will happen. You know, but one thing we need to understand as children of God is we have no time to keep on in our complacency or sleepiness. You know, we need to wake up. And the Lord says, watch ye therefore. When the Lord comes, He doesn't want you to see sleeping or complacency and think that everything is, as long as my little things work, you know, my cell phone, my car, and my little dog in the backyard, and my car and the TV works, I'm okay. It's not going to be like that anymore. There's going to be some sort of an urgency that needs to come in the life of a believer and say, look, you know, the time is short. This is the time. And every day or every week as we reflect back and say, did I have a chance to talk about the Lord and God, God Himself and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the events that are taking place to someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Many different ways. You know, there are umpteen number of ways that we can spread the gospel. Doesn't have to be preaching. Doesn't have our lifestyle, our correspondence, giving out a tract. So many ways that we can tell others about these times and what the Lord has told us about these times. One thing for sure, Bible has given us clearly at least five. I just want to go through very quickly these five things the Lord has given us warning about and very clearly mentioned in the scriptures that are going to take place starting from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the next greatest thing that's going to take place, which is going to really shake the world. Because there are a lot of people are going to disappear. I hope every one of us here will disappear when the Lord comes. If you're not sure, make sure that you will be part of that group that will be caught up in heaven when the Lord comes. We do not know what the, a couple of things that we don't know is, we don't know the timing and the hour when the Lord comes. But one thing we know, the things that are going to take place before His coming. And that's happening right before our eyes. The Lord is coming very soon. And He has mentioned these things. Five different things. First is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I have a tenant living in our Miami home. And she was a Catholic and she read the Bible. She says, you know, she believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And she went back searching what the truth in the Bible concerning the children of God, and you found out she has to go back to Judaism. So she adopted Judaism, and she's a Messianic Jewish faith, you know, practicing, and her husband also. And the other day I was just stopped by to pick up some of my mail still going there, and she was arguing, you people are wrong, because, you know, we need to go back to our roots, which is the Judaism, and the Lord is not going to come to pick up the church first and then the Jewish people. He's going to come just for once, and He's going to establish His kingdom. You know, there are a lot of people who think that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air is just a myth. Somebody is just, you know, dreaming all these things, and they have no explanation. But, you know, it is so clearly given to us the manner in which the Lord is going to come. There is no ambiguity in it. A couple of things need to take place. The trumpets had to be blown, and the Lord Himself shall descend, and the voice of God, and all these things that had to take place are being given to us in such a clear manner. There is no doubt that this will take place in a literal sense. The children of God who have put their trust in Christ all over the world will be taken up and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the first thing. It's important. It's very prominent in the Bible. It says that every 30 verses mentions about the doctrine of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To every mention of the first coming of the Lord, there are 8 references for the second coming of Christ. 318 references are made in the 216 chapters about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the second time. And even if these references were not there, all I need is one reference. John's Gospel 14:1-6. He said, He Himself said, I will come myself, and I will receive you unto myself. And the nature of His coming, the personal and the visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, after He takes His
church to be with him. He's going to come back on second time visibly with the church to establish his kingdom. And we know the purpose of his coming. The first coming is to catch up his people and to be with him. We have a couple of things that we'll be doing during the 7-year period of tribulation that is taking place in this world. First, we'll go and give an account of everything that we have done in this life for the kingdom of God, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for what we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ, one by one. It is not going to be a collective calling, Boulevard Chapel, come forward and give me an account. It'll be one by one. We all will stand one by one before and give an account for what we have done for Christ and how we have taken our Christian life seriously and what we have done for the furtherance of the gospel. After that, we will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will celebrate with the Lord Jesus Christ the consummation of the church unto himself. And there will be a great event at the time when the tribulation takes place here. And then the Lord will come for the second time and establish his kingdom. The other thing it also says is the resurrection. There is something that is very clear, that there is going to be a resurrection. Two part. The first one is the righteous one that will be caught up and be raised up again. And the second one is the wicked. There is another resurrection, which is the final resurrection. That's when everybody who ever lived on the face of the earth, who did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, will rise again. And they are the group that will be standing before the great white throne of judgment to give an account and to willingly accept the judgment. Can you imagine the people standing there and they have no argument? Because they're looking at a God who loved them so much, and he gave the very best that he had, his only begotten son, so that they don't have to go through to that lake of fire. But they have willfully rejected. They didn't want anything to do with him. Now they are confessing. How foolish could we be of rejecting such a loving God? And they will never blame God for that, for their own choosing. They chose by themselves and rejected Christ, and they are going into an eternity without Christ. And sometimes that scene gives me a little goosebump. In other words, a little fear in myself. We'll be standing on the other side of the great white throne and looking at these masses. Suppose we're looking at this crowd and one or two guys standing on the other side and looking straight at us and says, "Look, I worked with you in that office, and I worked with you. I went to school with you. You never told me about this instance, or you never told me about the gospel. I never knew this, or I never knew about this loving God," or whatever it was. If we were the ones who will be there looking at and giving us, what kind of a feeling that will be? We lost opportunities. We could have done that, but it was all be too late. But people who stand before the great white throne of judgment willingly accept their punishment, which is they deserve, and they will be departed into eternal hell, and that will be the separation. And also it talks about the time that God will have the rewards that given to the people of righteousness, and people who have been working for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing that God has prepared for us in the days to come. A great future. All these things are written in God's word. But we are in a situation these days that as believers, we have these great promises that God has given us, because the world is moving very fast and rapidly into that climax, or the climax of the events that the Lord Jesus Christ has told us. And he has given us the warning. As believers, we need to raise our heads and move forward with the gospel in our hands. There are a lot of opportunities that we miss on a day-to-day basis. Little things that we can do to present the gospel to others. The Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And he also went on to say, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." As believers, we have these promises. He is coming very soon. We need to take our Christian life much more seriously. I myself, in our prayer life, in our walking, this is not something to play with. Christian life is not a lifestyle
that gives us the freedom to do anything that we want. It is not. People say that we are under grace. So, you know, the law is not with us. We can do whatever we want. It is not. The grace and the love of Christ that we have in our hearts and lives is not a license to go and do whatever we can. We need to keep ourselves as the holy vessels for the use of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to flee certain things that are written in God's Word. We need to be always watching. We always need to preserve ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, He doesn't want to see us involved in things that will not only embarrass us, but embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, whether we are asleep or awake, we all will be caught up. That's for sure. If you're given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a guarantee that you will be taken up. But what a shame that it will be, that when the Lord comes, I'm caught in things that will really bring shame to the Lord's name and to myself. What was I doing when the Lord came, right? We don't want to be in that situation. He says, watch and pray that you will not be caught sleeping or complacent. But He wants us to be involved in the things of God, involved in the witnessing, involved in furthering the gospel, involved in putting the Lord Jesus Christ number one in our life. There are a lot of things in this world. These are all temporal. You know, we are running after the things that are just here today and is going to disappear tomorrow. I'm not saying that, you know, we just leave no interest in life at all. No, we have to plan. We have to prepare. We got to move on with our life. But especially the young people, your life is counted. I mean, you know, some of us are going to go away in about 15, 20 years or 30 years. But the Lord tarries, you have a long life to live. You are the ones who are going to take the torch and pass on to the next generation if that's the Lord's will. And you need to be set an example. The Lord, and Paul says to the youngsters in Timothy and other places where he says, you know, you got to conduct yourself as an example to others. Love one another. Provoke one another to love, not lust. Provoke one another to love and to be an example to others. And in your words and deeds and your in your appearance and your everything, the Lord expects us to be His true disciple. It's a tough fight. There's a lot of things out there that really, you know, pulls us and drags us into to make our life ineffective. And, you know, we lose our enthusiasm for the Lord because we failed. But our Lord is compassionate. He gives you another chance, another opportunity to come out of that slot or fallen state and come and work for the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives. And I'm not standing here and saying, look, and I passed all the tests, follow me. Not in any sense. We are all in this fight together. But we need to be alert. We need to be watchful because He is coming. He don't want us to see involved in things that is not very, very, you know, very pleasant in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know our lives. We know our own personal lives. How we fare. And what is our attitude when we lead our private lives. When nobody is watching us. What is our priorities in our life? And all these things will count as you grow and grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see youngsters building their life and their faith around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If He is not number one in our life, somebody else is going to take that place and your life is not going to be fruitful. It's not going to be effective. And you will sometimes, you know, some brother was the other day was saying, some people will just barely make limping into the kingdom of God or into heaven. You know, some other people are going to just go with an abundance entrance, with powerful, you know, going with enthusiasm. They have done something for the Lord. You know, like Paul says, I fought a good fight. You know, at the end of his life, he can go back and look and say. And that's what he wants. He wants us all to make progress in our Christian life. There is no such thing as stagnation Christian life, you know. We don't expect our children in the crib when they are 18, 19 years old, right? That'll be some problem. We all want them to grow. At the same time, we don't want them to grow when they are 6 years old, act like 40 years either. I mean, you know, we want them to grow in a very systematic and the right time and things like that. But, you know, we want growth. We all expect growth in our life. and the Lord Jesus Christ also, our life need to demonstrate growth in our, and progress in our Christian life. From yesterday, today, and as we go along, our life has to demonstrate that progress that we are making in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that we can get involved to please the world. But there are things that we can set aside our time and our talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put a clear goal. What we are going to achieve for the Lord Jesus Christ. What can I do? What is my talent? What is that the Lord has given in my life that I can use for His glory, for His furtherance of His kingdom? Not everybody is given the same talents, but He has given us talents. And we can all use it for His glory. May the Lord in the coming days to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be aware of the time that we are. And walk circumspectly, right? We need to be aware of the things that are going and taking place around us. If you're not aware of the things, we will never be able to adjust our life. And we'll never be able to adjust our plans and our programs and our goals. And that will bring more glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. The life is not going to be the same. It's going to be more and more difficult. It's going to be perilous time. And it is going to be something that we never wanted to see in our lifetime. But it is something that the Lord has already given us. He says, "Behold, I have told you. See, I have told you already." And then He says, let no man deceive you with so many things. It's going to happen. People are going to be deceived in many different ways. You would not believe. People are putting numbers now nowadays. And the other day I was told that if you put the 666 in a special combination and you put the name Bin Laden, it will end up with 666. I mean, people are coming up with all kinds of things, and you add up, like, you know, A, B, C, D, and put 6 and add 6 to B and another 6 to C, and you add up all those 666 at the end of Z, you add all those numbers, it'll be 666. I mean, there are so many things coming up that it's mind-boggling. Today, my wife, she went to work last night and come back, and somebody was telling the thing that is going on in New York is from A to Z. ATA, Apple, you know, Big Apple. And then Z, I mean, no, this is mind-boggling. They're saying it's everything is coming together. It's all, you know, nothing is written in God's Word. Or that sort of interpretation and deception. And there's going to be something. I mean, you know, although people say that we don't want to do anything with Christ, it is a very serious issue. Christ said there are a lot of people who come into Christ is there, Christ is here, and all over the place. That name is going to be very, very prominent in the days to come. But that will be on a deception because, you know, Satan is going to deceive. That's why we read in chapter 20 of Revelation, the day is going to come that Lord Himself will send His angel to take the serpent, the deceiver, that he will no more deceive the nations and put him in a place for 1,000 years that he will have no influence on the face of the earth. The Lord is going to establish His kingdom for 1,000 years, full of peace and prosperity that this world has never seen before. No crime, no murder, no nothing. But you know, the surprising thing is, after that season, the Satan will be let loose for a little season. And look at the influence that he has for the population that lived for 1,000 years under the rule of Christ. They all will turn around and they will line up with Satan for the final battle. What does that tell us? The heart of men will never be changed with prosperity, with peace. Even the Lord can offer that. But unless they come under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleansed, nothing is going to change. They're just waiting for Satan to come and do his work, and they will all be caught back and deceived, and they will come for the final battle for the Lord with the Lord Jesus Christ on against Him, and He will consume them with a fire coming out of His mouth. And that'll be the end of it, and it'll enter into the eternity in Revelation 21 and forward. The Lord will come, and He will fulfill His promises. Meanwhile, we have the assurance that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ should come these days so real. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God." Don't lose faith. Believe in God. Youngsters, young kids, you're growing up. Don't lose faith in God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I have in my Father's place many mansions," and so on and so forth. He said, He's going to come back. He's going to come back very soon. May the Lord help us to be bold Christians these days of confusion and people are looking for answers. We have the answer in God's Word. We don't have by ourselves, but It is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take those in. There are a lot of help out there. If you don't know where to look for and what to do and how to tackle these things, this is where the Bible studies and the contact with other believers and the help that we can get all come in place. And our own meditation in God's Word and prayer and our life as we live a holy life before the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give us the words. That's what the Lord said. You know, when somebody take you and put you before a court or some judge, you know, you don't worry what you're going to say. The Spirit of God will give you the words. And He has promised us. He's going to give us the word to utter and be an example and tell them what the Word of God says. May the Lord help us to do so in the coming days and bold believers and witness unto Him. And the Lord comes, let Him find us involved in the things of God, serving Him, witnessing unto Him, and living a life which is acceptable unto the Lord Jesus Christ. May His name be glorified. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer as we bring this meeting into a close. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You for the promises that we have in God's Word. As we look around, and especially these days, everywhere there is a sense of fear and uncertainty, and people's hearts are really stopping, and the world leaders, they are perplexed. They do not know how to handle. When they find some solution for some problem, there is another one cropping up. They don't have the answer. And they are all admitting that this scare that is going on is an evolving science. They don't have an answer to stop this or to stop the spread of this calamity that we are facing, even in our own nations, around the world. People are living. The reports that we get from different parts of the world, the same fear is everywhere. They do not know what to expect for tomorrow. They do not know what's coming in their mail. And it is coming so close and personal in everybody's life. We are at a state of fear. But as believers, as children of God, we have the promise of God. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Do not fear. And that will not be the one that we are looking forward. We are looking forward to the blessed return of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He's coming very soon. As believers, help us to stay focused and to have our sight fixed on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing has gone out of control as far as God is concerned. He is still on the throne and He is allowed these things to happen, and things are happening according to His plan and purpose and according to His timetable. And we are a part of His timetable and we are part of His plan. We know that the Lord will come, and He will come very soon, and He's going to come and receive us unto Himself, and we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be many tears at the day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We need to give an account for everything that we have done for Christ. Let those thoughts make us discouraged or do things which will not be productive, but those thoughts will encourage us to go forward and to do things that will please to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be witnesses for the Lord, to proclaim the gospel and to explain what the Lord has done in our own lives as an example to others who do not know Christ. Help us to be walking worthy of the call that God has called us with a holy calling. Our lives will count. At some point, we all need to give an account. Christian life is serious. Help us to be aware of the fact and to live godly life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I hope that we all can, we pray that we all can pray that prayer. Lord, we pray that if anyone here seated do not know Christ, don't have that joy, don't have that peace that passeth all understanding, we pray that this evening they will surrender their life to Christ. Simple steps of faith, admitting that they are sinners, they cannot save themselves, and God had sent His Son on His behalf, on her behalf, to die for him or her on the cross of Calvary, and He paid the price. Now the salvation is free, and help them to accept that salvation that is offered in and through the precious name of Christ, and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. We pray that You will help them to do so. Help them to ponder these things, and in the wake of things that are taking place, help them to straighten their life and come to Christ and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. We thank You for the little ones who are here, the young people, and those who have surrendered their life to Christ. We pray that You will encourage them, You strengthen them. They're going out into a world which is anti-God, anti-Christ. The universities, the colleges, the schools, and the friends that they rub shoulders with on a daily basis, many of them do not know Christ. They have no interest in the things of God. And our children are among those the crowd, and we pray that you will strengthen them. You will help them to stand bold and be witness unto thee. Help them to be true disciples of Christ, not to be drawn into the things of this world, but to accept Christ and follow him in truth and in spirit, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're facing tough times in their life, so we pray for them and commit them into your care. We thank you for all that you've done in their lives. We also commit everyone who is seated here and come this evening. We pray those who are not well in their bodies, we pray that you continue to strengthen them and be with them and comfort them. We pray all these things. We pray that you will watch over us until we meet again. Keep us under the shadow of thy precious wings. We once again thank you for their presence. We once again thank you for thy help. We thank you for thy word. We thank you above all for our precious Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.